Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Now let's continue what we have been discussing on the subject of the force of faith by reading from the book of 1 Kings chapter 19. Again, the story behind this is that Elijah went down to challenge the prophets of Baal that was in Israel then. And that was when he challenged them to pray that fire would come down and receive their sacrifices. And it didn't happen, but he poured water on his own sacrifice. And he called upon God, and God answered by fire. Now, if you remember that Ahab's wife was Jezebel, and Jezebel was his chief sponsor, the national supporter of idol worship in Israel. So when she heard that all the prophets of Baal had been killed, and that was at the direction of Elijah, she now set out that she was going to destroy him. And when Elijah heard this, he decided to run. And while running, he went to go and hear the word of God in the wilderness. And that's the point I wanted to get to. Now, the Bible says that he ate the food of angels around verse 7. And then he went to the strength of that food in verse 8, 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. Then when he came there to a cave and lodged there, behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And I'm reading verse 9 now. And he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken thy covenants, torn down thy altars, and killed thy prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away." Then God now spoke to him, verse 11, "Go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord." Now the idea was that go and hear what God has to say to you. He had to go to the mountain to go and hear. Now these were the experiences he had on that mountain. He said, "One, and behold, the Lord was passing by. And a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind." Now, please bear this in mind. He went there to go and hear the word of the Lord. And there was a lot of distraction, but God was not in the distraction. "And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake." In verse 12, it says, "And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing." All right, King James says a still small voice. I like my Bible I'm using here is the New American Standard. He said, "After the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing." And it came about when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a word came to him and said, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" And then God began to talk to him. And God told him what to do, to go down to the wilderness of Damascus and anoint Hazael king of Aram, Jehu as king of Israel, and Elisha as a prophet to replace him. Now, what have I tried to bring out from here is the fact that a time came when Elijah needed to hear a word from God. He had gone out to work for God. The circumstances of life had become very strong against him. About the most powerful person in the land, in reality, that was Jezebel. Her husband was king, but she had all the power over him. So she was essentially the most powerful person in the land. She had made up her mind she was going to kill Elijah. Everything was against this man. So the man needed to hear the word of God. Remember what I said last time? That we are talking about faith. What is the effect of our faith? That is, how does our faith really have effect? We may have the heart to believe, but what are we supposed to believe? God may have stirred up faith in our hearts. That is, when we hear his word, we will readily believe. But do we have a word to believe? I said there are voices every time. When you go out, everything you hear is telling you something. When you hear this news of somebody who caught a disease and died in 24 hours in hospital, it's telling you something. When you hear the news of a man who was driving on his way to work, an armed robber shot him in the morning, it is telling you something. When you hear a man was killed by an accidental discharge of a policeman who was trying to kill another thief somewhere else, is telling you something. When you hear of a man who was just walking along the road and hailstone came from heaven and killed him, or lightning, it is telling you something. And that tells you usually that so may your own case be, and you suddenly become afraid. You go back home and you want to buy a bulletproof car. You want to look for a lightning conductor to be carrying over your head so that lightning will not strike you from heaven. It suddenly begins to change your actions because it told you something that you may also die. Are you getting my point? But when you hear testimonies of deliverance, it encourages you and you know that in the midst of adversity, I can also be saved. Now, what am I trying to say? That there are voices out there and each one tells you something. But that the voice that tells you the truth and that leads you in the path of faith so that life may be injected into your death situation is the word of God. Therefore, the assignment, I said last time, of every believer is to labor. We read from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11, to enter into that rest. That is a place in which he sees negative things happening to other people, and he believes very strongly that 1,000 may fall by my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but none shall come near me. That as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so doth the Lord surround his people. That the angel of the Lord encamp round them that fear him and deliver them. Now the man must have a word to be able to enter into that rest. And Paul said he must fight to get that word. It's not something that just comes to him because he's sitting at home, but something that comes to him because he wants it. And this is the reason why we have read the story of Elijah here in the book of 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah had difficult situations arrayed against him. Therefore, he needed to hear a word from God. Please get the point. He needed to hear a word from God. So he moved to the wilderness, and God spoke to him and told him, go to the mountain. And when he got to the mountain, distractions came. Please, let us get this point. A lot of us, we camp around distractions. Notice that God was passing by. And first of all, because God was passing by, he heard the wind blowing and breaking the mountains. But he understood that God was not in the wind. After that, there was an earthquake shaking everywhere. He said, it's not this shaking that is God. Then he saw a fire burning. He said, it's not this fire that is burning. But he knew that God is somewhere around. Then he listened out and heard the sound of a gentle blowing. And he said, indeed, God has come to speak. And then he covered his face and began to listen for the voice of God. And God began to speak to him, and he told him what to do in the midst of a difficult situation. Now, what am I trying to say? You know, the problem we have a lot of times in life, we get carried away by activity. Let me give you an example. You hear that, stock market is moving, stock market is moving. Everybody's rushing to go and buy stock. Everybody's rushing to go and buy stock. Like one of my friends said, they don't ask themselves, why is the stock market moving? Are you getting my point? Therefore, the day it stops moving, all of them lose money. What happened was that they heard the wind blowing. Yes, God was passing, but they didn't wait to hear the sound of a gentle blowing. Are you getting my point? They allowed the activities around to carry them away. Or they go to church. People go to church sometimes. They dance and dance and dance and dance and say, God, the choir in that church is just too much. Listen to me. That was not why you went to church. That was to prepare you for hearing the sound. Are you getting my point? Of a gentle blowing. A friend of mine said once that he went somewhere and he heard the man preach. The man preached so powerfully. The word really, really moved him. After he left the service, he and some people were moving. They were walking. And one guy said, wow, did you see that man's suit? My God. That man wears the most fantastic suits I have ever seen. He said he almost fell down. Like, what? His suit? You went for that meeting. All you were seeing was the suit the man was wearing. He said, oh, that man's voice. My God, that guy's English is polished. When you hear him speak, all his words rhyme. You know, that's all you hear. Meanwhile, he left the place humbled. He left the place with the Spirit of God hot inside him from the words he had heard. He was talking to a man who was in the same meeting. And the man said, did you see his suit? Hey, is that a Calvin Klein or an Armani? Now, you get what I'm saying? Now, this is a problem. A lot of people get distracted by the things that don't engineer faith. It's amazing. People go to church for different reasons. Some people go to church because that building is the most beautiful in town. Those are the distractions that don't allow you to hear the word of God. Some want to go to church to hear that this is the church I attend, to bear the name that this big man is the general overseer or the bishop general over me. And listen, that does not give you the knowledge of God. That will not keep you in the day of adversity. Are you getting my point? I said that God has a word to speak about everything. And it is your responsibility, if you are one that wants to walk by faith, to settle down and hear what God has to say. Where do you hear God from? Let's get very practical. I said something last time when we were reading from the book of Acts chapter 27. Remember that Paul was in the midst of adversity and the wind spoke to him. In fact, funny enough, the condition of the other men around him was telling him things. He was telling them that all of you are going to die. But in the midst of that, he prayed, I believe. Because in response to his prayer, God sent an angel. An angel appeared and said, Paul, don't worry. You will not die. Not one strand of hair from your head will break. He said, listen, not only that, the men around you, God has given them to you because you asked. I'm adding my own words now. Now, that word was the only one he had different from the other things that were going on. Are you getting my point? And in the midst of that, he was able to rise up and say boldly, none of you will die. Because I believe what God has said to me. What am I telling you? In the midst of the adversities of the nation, you hear that everybody's winning visa lottery and going somewhere. Everybody's playing this particular game and making money. Everybody's investing in the stock market and becoming millionaires. Everybody's rushing up and down. This is what now makes money. They introduce one pyramid scheme to you. You want to buy into it. Listen, before you do that, what you need to do is to settle down first and pray and say, God, what is your word in this situation? Listen to me. God always answers. He may not answer you by lightning falling down from above. Like he saw here in the case of Elijah, God was not in the lightning, if you know what I'm trying to say. It was in the still small voice. It's something, a conscious effort you must make. A friend of mine told me the other day, a very good friend of his was appointed into a high-level government office. And the man called him. And he was willing to help him and all of that. And he said something to me. He said, in everything. Now, this is not just somebody, you know, there are people who are going around looking for favor. No. This is a man who this top-level official is running after. He said, you, boy, where are you now? You get my point? He told me simply, he said, in everything, I need to know what is God's will for me to do. Now, I'll break that one down for us a little later because some of us say, how do I hear the voice of God? It's not always that God shouts in your ear, my son, this is what you will do. But if you are willing to settle down, God will lead you through many ways in the path of righteousness for his own namesake. You will have a word. Usually, which you come listen, when you are hearing somebody preach, or as you are studying the scriptures yourself, a man told me once, he's a mechanic. Now, get my point. He's an educated man, but he's a motor mechanic. He said once he told himself that this town where he's in is very dry. Therefore, he moved to another town and go and make more money. And then one day he's read his Bible that James said, some people will settle down and say, let us go to another city and go and make money. He said, such people will just vanish like smoke. When else he saw me, he said, Banky, this Bible is fantastic. It has something to say about everything. That was how he shelved all his plans. I remember many years ago, after youth service, I went to Lagos. Something took me to Lagos. I'm a person that hated Lagos personally. I hated Lagos personally. And so I'm the wrong person to even... one of my friends, I remember when she saw me, friends on campus, one of our we're attending the same fellowship. So one day she saw me in Lagos, said, what are you doing here? I told her what brought me to Lagos. He said, so what I plan to do meanwhile? I said, well, maybe I'll just get a job meanwhile while I'm waiting for something to develop. I remember her words. He said, you, Banky, work in Lagos. Because she knew me from campus. Knew how much I detested all the hustle and bustle and all the rushing up and down. And when I would see Molu Espas, I would wonder, why do human beings enter this thing? The very sight of them used to virtually scare me. Now, I was just like that kind of person. Now, events took me to Lagos, and one day I began to do my residency in Lagos, but then along the line, listen to this, my attitude towards the city had not changed. So I decided that I was going to leave. I was going to apply for another appointment, for the same appointment somewhere else in the teaching hospital, somewhere in another part of the country where I had been to and everything was quiet and my type of life. Are you getting me? I had made up my mind. I told my friends that, please, this is in Lagos. I think it don't tire me. I am leaving. Now, the interesting part is that it was all... Now, I could have made taken some steps to make my life more comfortable. But I think all the hustle of Lagos, everything put together, the fact that where I was staying that time, I was beginning not to enjoy the place anymore and all of that. I think everything was put together. I said, no, I'm leaving. And I was never a Lagos person. Now that I live in Enugu, for me, it's a more righteous thing to do than living in Lagos. That's just a personal thing. Do you get what I'm saying? So that day, I now went to church. That was at Winners Chapel in Lagos. And after service that day, there was a tape I bought earlier that was not exactly good. So I wanted to replace for certain reasons. So while I was there, the man in charge of the tape section said that they didn't have that tape anymore. I can take any other tape to replace it. So I took a tape titled Rhema, the Living Word of God. And then I got back home. Because church was quite far from where I lived, I got home very late, maybe around 11 p.m. So I went in, had a bath, and then I went to lie down so as to sleep. And I had a habit then. I just believe that I don't like waiting for sleep to come. I know that the sleep will come, but I like to either be reading a book and then the book falls down and I sleep off, or I listen to a message. So that night I said, okay, let me listen to this message as I'm falling asleep. So I put a player beside me and put the tape in so that I will be hearing it and then I will drift off to sleep. You know, after 5 minutes, I sat up. I said, no, I mustn't fall asleep. It was about a 45-minute message. I listened to the message through and through. And at the end of the day, this is the summary. What the man of God said exactly is not even the point now. The issue was that by the time he finished, I realized that I was making my own plan and it was not the will of God for me to leave that Lagos at that particular point in time. Now, we don't have the time to start analyzing how you find out. But the truth is that, like I said in one of my books, if you want to know, you will know. Are you getting my point? If you really want to know the will of God, you will know it. The major reason why people can't know the will of God is because in actual fact, they don't want to know it. Because they have been taught that the will of God is good and every Christian should know the will of God. They claim they want to know it. But they know that there's a possibility that if you pray for that will of God too much, it may cancel your visa plans. There's a possibility that if you pray for that will of God too much, you may have to marry from the state you never wanted to marry. There's a possibility. If you pray for that will of God too much, God may make you go and work in a place where they don't pay as highly as you have been hoping for. So we claim we want to know the will of God, but unconsciously we are resisting it. If I may just say this, we'll talk about that later, concerning this will of God thing. The number one way to know the will of God for your life is simply to be willing to know it, to remove every obstacle inside your heart, to confess simply to God, God, there are things I don't like, let me tell you simply, so that you can help me remove the I don't like stubbornness out of my heart. It's a matter of fact. So that day, that was it. I just knew that simply all the plans I had made for weeks before now was my own plan. Next day, I went back and undid all the plans. Suddenly, God opened doors for me. In fact, not only did I move from where I was, I had a more comfortable accommodation. I had an other very lucrative offer for accommodation. I had to now be choosing that, no, I don't want this one. I prefer this one because it's more convenient for me. Did I end up leaving Lagos? Yes, in God's due time, in God's due season. Are you getting what I'm saying? I remember first someone wanted to start doing the Way of Success. When I went to go and check how much it cost us to put this message on air, I ran away. And I ran away for weeks and maybe months. Then one day I sat down somewhere, waiting for my wife somewhere. She went for a meeting and I was playing a message. Now listen to this. I was playing the word of God again in my car while waiting. And the preacher was preaching and preaching. Now till today I can't remember, number one, the tape I was listening to or what exactly it was that he said. All I know is that when he finished, I knew that the time had come, are you getting my point? For us to start teaching the word of God on air. And I got up and I began to prepare. And God opened doors, gave us favor with the radio station, supplied money from different ways. Until date, we have remained on air because we heard God's word at the appropriate time. If I had settled down based only on the surrounding circumstances, you would never have heard the Way of Success till today. And now we have been on for over 3 years. Continuously, non-stop. That's the power of faith. And I said, it is not just having the readiness to believe, but having something to believe. But that the word of God doesn't come to you just because you are roaming the streets and shaking your legs and grumbling and complaining. And sitting down and watching Man U and Arsenal and Chelsea. And morning, afternoon, and night, all you talk is football, politics, economics. You never settle down to go to the mountain, avoiding all the distractions. Are you getting my point? Listen, if I go to church, look, people can dance and play music very well in church. I enjoy it. Somebody can give a fantastic special number. I listen out for the message in it. The voice with which they are speaking is not my primary concern. It's what they are saying. Now, I'm not saying the voice is not important. I don't want a toad being a member of the choir. Do you get what I'm saying? And croaking away for me. I want nice, good minstrels, people who can sing good songs being there. The message comes across smoother. But I'm saying that it is not the main thing. The main thing is what? The message. And when you go to church, what do you go to do? There are those who go to church because it's Sunday. A Christian must never be at home on Sunday. That is not what matters. It's what is the Christian hearing when he goes to church on that Sunday? Are you getting my point? What is he hearing? Listen, it is your responsibility, we said, to hear the right things. God has written the scriptures. It is your responsibility to read it. There are good books out there teaching you the word of God. It's your responsibility to buy them. A friend of mine and I were talking the other day. He said that he works in a place where people travel abroad for weekend and they don't feel it. When you tell them to buy a book, they say, can it be 4,000 naira? It's too expensive. Meanwhile, to go and just blow a week in UK, you don't claim that the flight ticket is too expensive. No, you're getting the point I make. It's because we don't have the right priorities. The reason why we talk all the nonsense we talk is because all we listen to is nonsense. When we want to relax, we take a home movie and listen. DSTV will tell you the most popular channel they have on all their bouquet is African Magic. That is one everybody glues to morning, afternoon, and night. Are you getting my point? The only one after that, sports channels. But Inspiration TV, they won't watch it. TBN, you hardly find them there. Where the good word is being preached, it is boring. It's okay, come and pay money and go for a particular picnic somewhere. It will pay. We will travel. Let's go to a game reserve. But go for a conference where the word of God is being preached, I don't have time. Oh, that weekend is very busy for me. It's when we do our family meeting. Are you getting my point? No wonder our faith is weak. Listen, I said everything speaks. You tune the TV, the news network is telling you something. But the one that will give you life, because the power of words, listen, there are two things about the words. When they come, they affect you. But then secondly, the origin of that word decides the amount of power inherent in it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Satan's words deceive so that you will miss the real word of God. I'm saying that if you believe the word of Satan, all right, it can never make you triumphant. It does not have the power for triumph in it. The Bible says that the thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Every word you hear that's not engineered by the Spirit of God cannot make you triumphant. But he said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. That is, when Jesus speaks, he said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. And the Bible calls him the word of God. When you imbibe his words, when you imbibe what Jesus says to you, when you eat that bread from heaven, what you have is the power to triumph. I've heard testimonies. Many times people come to me, sir, since the day I heard you teach this, my life has changed. I used to be frustrated before. Now I'm a productive person. Now, and I say, okay, how did that happen? Listen, this is how it happens. Because there is power in the word of God. If you believe it, I said something last time, that there are many people out there that God wants to bless. They have prayed and they have done good works. But you see, God cannot bless you until he sends a word into your life. It is the word you have held. I mean, the children of Israel prayed and prayed and prayed, and God heard them. But what did he do? He sent Moses with a word. Moses had to ask, when I go to them, who do I say sent me? That is, there had to be a word to tell the people. He said, tell them, the I am that I am sent you. Are you getting what I'm going to say? He will say, go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go that they might serve me. It was words that he sent Moses with. It was as Moses declared the words and the people received the words that deliverance came for them. When they entered into the wilderness and they stopped believing the words of Moses, they died in the wilderness. That was why when Peter stopped believing the words of Jesus, he sank. This is your responsibility. Things happen every day. In fact, the other day, I got a mail. Somebody was informing me that Dunlop finally closed down their tire manufacturing factory in Nigeria because of the power problems and inconsistent government policies on tariff. That day, I almost cried. Really. It hurt me so deeply. They were the only surviving tire manufacturing company in Nigeria. All the other people were importing. They had manufactured for 45 years. In 2008, they finally closed. Why? So they can no longer survive the power problem and the inconsistent government policies. Listen, when you hear that, even me, with all the faith, look, my heart was broken. Do you get my point? I settled down and I prayed. And then at the end of the day, I said, I still believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Then suddenly I began to prophesy. Are you getting my point? That the darkest hours are just before the dawn. That the fact that I'm hearing news does not change what we know will happen. Then I began to recite things that did not happen 45 years ago that are happening today. I don't know whether you get my point. Listen, if I focus only on that news, my heart will break. I will become dejected. I will lose faith. But when I finished hearing the news, I considered the news and then I began to speak the word of God to myself and consider all that things that already happened. I talked to somebody, I said, listen, you know, despite that, we still believe that good things are going to happen. Are you getting my point? We said, listen, that is the problem now. I said, the way they closed, and this is a prophetic word, the way companies closed in Nigeria, more will open. The ones that closed will open again. They didn't close because they're angry with us. They closed because it was no longer making business sense. And then one day, it will begin to make business sense. Listen, what I'm trying to tell you is this. The fact that I have said it, and I'm declaring it, and if I have enough people out there saying an amen to that, do you get my point? That will produce power for us in this country, and a consistent government policy on tariffs, and eventually more companies will open. Please, I hope you are getting the point I'm making here. And that's the way it works. That is, we focus not only on the negative things, but we hold on to the word of God. And what I'm emphasizing here is that just as Satan tries to crowd your face with negative news, you have the responsibility to crowd your own heart with positive ones. And not just positive and it shall be well. No. In that this is the plan of God. I was saying something earlier. Where do I get that word from? Number one, for tuning in tonight to hear this broadcast, you have taken a giant step. Are you getting my point? Number two, you have a Bible. Read it. Go to a living church. Not just go to church because it's Sunday. Go when you know you will hear a word from God. Go because you know you will hear a word from God and go consistently. When you go out, let one of the places you visit all the time it be a bookshop where the word of God is preached. The other day, I was going to buy a book. I said, what's inside this book? He said, oh, all the advice that people give Donald Trump. I asked the person, I said, were they giving advice from the word of God? He said, no. I know it's good advice, but I said, right now, I don't need good advice. I need faith advice, godly advice, spiritual advice. I know it begat results for him. I said, but no. Because I've heard him say that one of the advice they give me is that, look, if your wife is disturbing you, divorce her. I said, I don't want to divorce my wife. She's disturbing me. God hates divorce. To scatter my life, to scatter my ministry, to affect my children. I won't do that. I said, I need good advice. You know, it's very popular these days. We read a lot of business books and all of that. And they are very good. In fact, as far as I'm concerned, when I see a lot of young men reading a lot of business books, I say it's a sign that they are taking productivity into their own hands. And some of the things people begin to do when God is set to bless the people. Are you getting what I mean? I believe that absolutely. But I say beyond that, I must also grab the counsel of God that we put a spirit of the victor inside me so that in the time of adversity, I will have something inside so strong causing me to rise above the challenges of life. I need it. I always say the word of God is not advice, it's empowerment. Do you get my point? When Jesus saw a man who was absolutely crippled, lying on the sick bed, and he said, rise up, take up your pallet and walk. He wasn't advice, because the man didn't need advice to walk. He wanted to walk. But when Jesus said that to him and he obeyed the word of God, what he received was the strength put into him to walk. And then he rose up according to the power of those words and he began to walk. Ken Hagin described how he was bedridden at the age of 16. Listen, he was born with a heart defect. He had developed an incurable blood disease, which my knowledge as a doctor tells me must have been a leukemia. The way he described it in layman's terms. And there he was paralyzed from his waist downwards and he could not move. He said he realized that nobody could help him. All the pastors he had that had come to pray for him, they didn't even come to pray that he would be healed. They prayed that God will ease his pain, that he might die in peace. He heard one of them. He said he couldn't even hear well. But that day, as if Satan released his hearing so that he would hear something very negative. As a preacher went out, he prayed with his parents, actually his grandparents, and said God strengthened them because of this, their son that they are about to lose. This is a man you call for prayer. Administering to you your last sacrament, he said he realized that nobody is going to help me. Only God will help me. And he took his Bible and began to read. He will pray and read. It took him a few months. Then finally, the Spirit of God enlightened his heart. And he said that whatever you ask, if you believe, and all of that. And then one day, he prayed and strength came back into him. And he rose up. As soon as he walked out of the room, after many months of being bedridden, his grandfather looked at him and said, is Lazarus raised? Because indeed, the guy was as good as dead. But he heard the right words. That's the point I'm making. And life was given back into his system. I hope you've gotten that point.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books, and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.